Check your weapons at the door. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast with a silver lining. He won't go to work until after the View, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hey, it is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, and I am your Medicare expert, Doug Jones. Of course, this is all redundant information for you, since you just heard my nephew, Drew McMillan, tell you the same thing. So why would I come on and waste your time chewing my cud twice, as Barney Miller would say? Barney Miller? No, Barney Fife. Anyway, thank you for joining us today. Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast is designed to do certain things, and I think Randy at this point can play our 30-second explanation set to music.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you for playing that, Randy. Now everybody has a clear understanding of why they're listening to this podcast. We just want to help you get through this whole Medicare morass in as painless and maybe fun a fashion as possible. So Randy Carson, my guidance counselor and whatever else he is, he's a friend and an advisor and problem solver par excellence. Thanks for turning the knobs and sliding the slides, Randy.
You are absolutely welcome. Did you ever tell anybody that the first time we met that you were actually laying on the couch and I was sitting over in the chair with a clipboard and asking you questions about your childhood?
I never told anybody about that because I was afraid that that would violate doctor-patient relationship.
Oh, that's true. I shouldn't have said anything.
And as the doctor, I felt compelled to follow the rules. And as you, the very disturbed, the highly disturbed patient with the clipboard fixation, I didn't want to cause you any discomfort, and I didn't want you suing me for violating those rules.
Well, you know why that came to mind, right, Doug?
No, I don't.
You know, in the last episode, we were talking about preventive screening.
Yes, we were.
And that brought that to mind.
Okay, well, I remember a lot of discussion of cognitive impairment and the screening thereof, and I remember a lot of you laughing your butt off, and it was completely silent laughter because you turned your mic off.
And I did.
So I had to explain to the audience, this is really just joking around. You could tell that if Randy hadn't turned his mic off because he's laughing at my joke.
Actually, the way it came out, you know, with only one mic going, it looked like the cognitive impairment was really a funny issue for you.
Well, I don't mind being the butt of cognitive impairment jokes. Certainly isn't the first time, and it won't be the last. But, well, anyway, so Randy has skidded us right into our subject matter for today. Last episode, I talked a lot about the screening that you can get, the welcome to Medicare visit you can get from a doctor that they'll pay for completely if the doctor follows all the rules, and the after 1 year under Medicare, after 12 months, you also get a preventive visit that they pay for. So you have yearly wellness visits, and then you have a preventive visit. Especially at the beginning, Medicare considers that important because they think in their infinite wisdom that you're going to go to the same doctor your whole life and that doctor is just going to build a file on you. In reality, people go to different doctors all the time. So I guess that's why you can do these things more often. And so the doctors theoretically are supposed to sit there like Randy with his clipboard and nod and and take notes on what you give as your medical history and your drug, your prescription drug history and all that stuff. Well, today I wanted to talk about some of the screenings and preventive services that Medicare offers pretty much free of charge. There may be some charge for some of these things, but they're pretty much free of charge because basically people have demanded that they be free of charge. And I don't know why that would be. Why am I paying all of it? I would rather just pay the taxpayer's portion, the 80% after the $200 deductible. But that's not going to happen. So here are the lists of things that you can find on Medicare.gov under Is My Test Item or Service Covered? Now, because you probably had a good history of English training, then you would do it correctly. You would type in Is My Test, Item or Service Covered? But Medicare, being staffed with a bunch of ignoramuses, puts in Is My Test, Item, or Service Covered? You're not supposed to have that second comma. So be aware that you may have to type it in exactly to get close to what you want to look for, but you'll wind up with a list of preventive and screening services. Medicare Part B covers the following: abdominal aortic aneurysm screening, which sounds like a lot more fun than it probably really is. And there goes Randy again. Jeez, no wonder he has his mic off. The whole
this if would be you like, had an abdominal aortic aneurysm, you wouldn't be sitting there at a doctor wondering if you could screen for it.
Okay. It would have come and gone. Well, ironically, I anticipated your curiosity, Randy. I know you entirely.
I'm glad. I mean, what is that aortic vein that's popping out like a basketball?
Yeah, it looks like a balloon inside your
abdomen. Oh, I wonder what that is. Let's see if we can prevent that.
Well, knowing that this would spark your curiosity, I actually clicked on that and expanded it. What is the abdominal aortic aneurysm screening? Well, Medicare Part B covers an abdominal aortic screening ultrasound once, only once, if you're at risk, only if you're at risk. You're considered to be at risk if you have a family history of abdominal aortic aneurysms, or if you're a man age 65 to 75, and if you've smoked at least 100 cigarettes in your lifetime. Wow. I smoked 100 cigarettes a day, pretty much for years, decades. Anyway, how often? You get this test only once in your lifetime, and if you meet those criteria, Medicare will pay for it. Your costs in original Medicare. You pay nothing for this test if the doctor or other qualified healthcare provider accepts assignment. And then it says, note, your doctor or other healthcare provider may recommend you get services more often than Medicare covers, or they may recommend services that Medicare does not cover. If this happens, you may have to pay some or all of the costs. Ask questions so you understand why your doctor is recommending certain services and whether Medicare will pay for them. So they want your doctor to be a Medicare expert. Well, what are Medicare experts like me going to do if all the doctors decide to become Medicare experts? So then, things to know. You must get a referral from your doctor or other qualified health practitioner. And then a related resource that you can click on, this is a hot link, is the National Institutes of Health Medicine plus information on abdominal aortic aneurysm. Now, aren't you glad you made fun of abdominal aortic aneurysm and the screening therefore, Randy?
It still makes no sense to me, Doug. Okay, if you only smoke 99 cigarettes, and so we're not going to screen you, but we're only going to do it once. So if they come up and say, you know, you're about ready to explode, your aorta looks like, you know, a 45-year-old, tire tube that's way too old and it's cracked on the side, what are they going to do about it?
Well, they go in there and they cut you open. They'll cut you four ways. Long, wide, they'll cut you four ways. They'll cut you long, wide, deep, and often.
Yes. And you should come more often, but never mind. we don't get to pay for the other ones. We just want you to come see us very often.
Well, that's the whole idea. If you don't follow these Medicare rules, Medicare ain't paying for it. And you're going to be on your own. Now, it's up to the doctor not to get you into that position. So continuing on with the massive list of services and screenings that they will do for you, my favorite one is the alcohol misuse screenings and counseling. For this, you not only get a screening, you also get a counseling. And I thought, well, you know, Randy's going to ask me about this one too. So I expanded that by clicking on the link. The alcohol misuse screening and counseling, Medicare Part B covers the alcohol misuse and screening once per year. That's not once a lifetime. This is once per year. If you're an adult, including pregnant women, if you're an adult who uses alcohol, but you don't meet the medical criteria for alcohol dependency. It's like you're heading that way, but you're not bad enough yet. So they counsel you. I don't know if they counsel you on how to make progress towards becoming an alcoholic, but anyway, the screening process is conducted by your primary care doctor or other primary care practitioner, and it determines whether you're misusing alcohol. And if it determines that you are, you can get up to 4 brief face-to-face counseling sessions each year if you're competent and alert during counseling. So I guess that means if you go there with a chip on your shoulder, they're going to throw you right out and not pay for any counseling sessions. Well, that's only 4 per year. I get yelled at by my wife all the time. So I wonder if I can get her paid for that service by Medicare. So, but they're saying once each year is the alcohol misuse screening and counseling. Your costs, you pay nothing if the qualified doctor or other primary care practitioner, they're careful to say that, if that practitioner accepts assignment. Your doctor or other health care provider may recommend you get services more than Medicare covers, blah, 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 same old thing. Medicare may not pay for everything. Things to know, a qualified primary care doctor or other primary care practitioner must provide the counseling in a primary care setting like a doctor's office or a tavern. Oh, no, that I read sometimes what I want to read. I see what I want to see. So back to the lengthy list of services and screenings. That was the alcohol screening and counseling. Next is bone mass measurements. And I see Randy's not laughing about that, so we're going to go on. Cardiovascular disease screenings. Cardiovascular disease behavioral therapy. I should have clicked on those because I don't know what the difference is between cardiovascular disease screenings and cardiovascular disease, parentheses, behavioral therapy, end parentheses. I don't know what the difference between those two would be. Cervical and vaginal cancer screenings. Colorectal cancer screenings, and then there are about 5 subheadings under that that they're not going to provide the sort of fun goofing around that we like to hear. So I'm not going to talk about colorectal subheadings under these cancer screenings. We'll just go on. Depression screening. Diabetes.
Was the colorectal screenings, was that down at the bottom of the list?
You're just asking for it, aren't you? Okay. No, since it starts with a C, it was towards the beginning of the list. And the 5 subheadings were multi-target stool DNA, stool DNA test. So I'm thinking, does that mean if you drop trowel, can you hit a target? I don't know. Multi-target stool DNA test. Screening barium enemas, not screaming, but screening barium enemas, screening colonoscopies. They keep having this word screening, and I want to say screaming. Screening fecal occult blood tests, and screening flexible sigmoidoscopies. That's a lot of medical jargon there, but, you know, hopefully, Randy stopped laughing, so that's good.
That's easy for you to say.
He's disgusted by the whole process. So depression screenings, diabetes screenings, diabetes self-management training, glaucoma tests, hepatitis B virus infection screening, hepatitis C screening test, HIV screening, lung cancer screening, mammograms, nutritional therapy services, obesity screening and counseling, one-time welcome to Medicare preventive visit. We talked about that in the last episode. Prostate cancer screenings, sexually transmitted infections screenings and counseling, then shots, flu shots, hepatitis B shots, and pneumococcal shots. Yearly wellness visit, and my favorite, tobacco use cessation counseling. I had my one 2020 cigarette about a week ago when we had an old friend come to visit. So I thought, okay, tobacco, counseling to prevent tobacco use. How might this have helped me since now I have one cigarette per year? Well, first of all, it tells me that Medicare is going to pay for it. Up to 8 visits of smoking and tobacco use cessation counseling visits in a 12-month period smoking. This sentence makes no sense, but, you know, it's a government website, so it shouldn't surprise me. Your costs in original Medicare, you pay nothing for the counseling sessions if your doctor or other healthcare provider accepts assignment. To find out how much your test item or service will cost, talk to the doctor. And then they tell you where you can go get other money from other insurance you have, how much your doctor charges, whether your doctor accepts assignment, type of facility, blah, blah, blah. And basically what this is counseling to help you stop smoking or using tobacco. A qualified doctor or other Medicare recognized provider must provide these visits. And then they have a whole bunch of related resources and they have videos. Medicare and You, Lung Cancer Awareness Month, and that's a video. And I don't know if you can watch it all year or if you can only watch it during the Lung Cancer Awareness Month. And it doesn't tell me here when Lung Cancer Awareness Month happens. Medicare and You, It's Always Time to Quit Tobacco. That's a video. I would say that you could spend the better part of an afternoon watching the government videos. I imagine some of them are much like what was the evil killer weed movie that everybody laughed at? It was came out in the 30s, but it was shown again in the 70s.
I think these videos that you're referring to, if I'm not mistaken, they were put out by Lucky Strike.
Oh yes, it's sponsored by
Lucky Strike and Camels.
Well, that's because when we were kids, there were all kinds of doctors on television holding lit cigarettes saying, you know, this brand is the mildest, and I recommend it to all my patients who smoke.
This is a true story. One of my old bosses had a wife that was really high strung. She was about 4'11" and looked like, and she had like short pixie hair, and she looked like a bird that had her feathers plucked, you know, this little tiny short pixie hairdo. But right. She was wired. Oh, my gosh, was she wired. And I kid you not, this is a true story. When she got pregnant, she was really, really, really wired. Her doctor told her to take up smoking to calm down.
My family doctor knew my parents because they spent a lot of time drinking together. We've had some discussions about the adults when we were kids enjoying their cocktails. Our family doctor was a neighbor of ours, and he would come over if a kid in the family had something, and he'd pull out his black bag, and then he'd go down, and my father would say, okay, I'll mail in the $5 for the house call, and the doctor would say, okay, is it cocktail time? And he'd be drinking for a couple hours, you know, before he went back home. Well, he used to smoke a pipe. And I remember him more often than not as a little kid. I'd have to go visit him in his office, and he would take that pipe out of his mouth and point it at me and say, don't ever smoke. So his attitude was slightly different than the doctor you just described.
And don't ever stick your feet in an x-ray machine. Oh, that's a whole different story.
I don't think he ever said that. Otherwise, my feet might not glow in the dark today. By the way, you're talking about that woman being like a bird, and I can understand that because some animals are just herky-jerky and they're looking
over
and busy, busy, busy. Well, this morning's Rush Limbaugh morning update passes on a warning from the Centers for Disease Control, and with this this virus panic, this Chinese virus panic that's going on, we know how reliable they are. Apparently, something on the order of 785 people every year get salmonella poisoning. And they've discovered the reason why most of these people are getting the salmonella poisoning. It's because they grow chickens in their backyard. They raise chickens.
Yeah.
And they're out there kissing and fondling the chicken.
That's never a good idea.
I could have told them that, and I'm not even a animal husbandry guy, you know.
Okay, so I grew up on a ranch. If you ever saw what a chicken eats and what a chicken does, you wouldn't get that close to a chicken.
And they probably eat and do it in the same place, right?
Yeah, it really doesn't matter because, as you know, a chicken has to have chicken's got no teeth, right? So they have to have gravel to grind stuff up. So they go most of the time they go around picking up rocks and swallowing rocks and all that stuff to get into their gizzard, so that then when they eat some grain, that gizzard is responsible for grinding it all up against those rocks. Well, sometimes they don't get just rocks. They get a lot of other things that may look like a rock.
Well, if all the chicken kissers out there knew about that kind of thing, there'd be a lot less salmonella going around, I bet.
Well, the thing you got to remember, you can eat all the chicken you want. You just have to make sure it's properly cooked.
Sure, I understand that, but talking about cooking chicken thoroughly and not touching the same surface with the raw chicken, that's not as nearly as funny as thinking out there kissing and fondling their chicken.
I would touch a chicken with a 10-foot pole because I grew up around them.
Yeah, I understand that, but well, how much time do we have left?
We have none, so we need to go into the close-up routine in terms of, you know, putting our tray tables up into their upright and locked position, you know, all that good stuff.
Thanking the audience for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us.
You have to get to Amazon.com and order a small handful of books, if not a big fan handful of books, because every person that we have spoken with has gotten some tremendous amount of value out of this book. And the great part of it is it's a readable book. You know, Doug is a great writer. And he has done a very good job, and he's beginning to think about 2021 now. So you might want to talk a little bit about what might pop up into the book next year.
Well, I'll tell you something. I'm thinking about having pictures of ladies posed in suggestive ways because it seems to be a big hit with the gentlemen in the audience. They've said, how come no scantily clad women in your book? So we're thinking about doing that. Now, we're adding the extra pages, so we're going to have to cut corners somewhere. I don't know whether the price is going to go up or we're going to get rid of some voluntarily expensive things like color. We might have black and white pictures of the cars this year. But in reality, one of the things I want to do is make it easier for people to use those steps that will help them select the cheapest prescription drug plan. We've got a nifty way of doing it. Randy has helped me construct some photographs so that you can see and follow along more easily, and you can pick out your own drug plan and buy it from the insurance company without dealing with any dopey insurance guys like me. I think that's going to pay for the book right there. You're going to save a ton of money by picking out your own prescription drug plan. So that would be one of the big changes we're going to have in the coming edition, the 2021 edition. Back to you, Randy.
I was thinking, you know, we might actually make an offer. You know, you buy, you know, 12 books to hand out to your friends and relatives, and oddly enough, you may show up on our podcast. We will have a, you know, some sort of a championship that said, oh, this person owns 36 of Doug's books and has given them out across, you know, the Midwest.
Okay.
So what do you
think? I like that idea, but they have to come to our studios in person.
Well, there you go. I mean, we could interview them easily. You know, we have technology.
We have technology, but I want to see them show up in person. If they're that dedicated, then I think we should say, you know, the caveat is we'll give you some airtime if you show up in person. I think that's going to weed out a lot of the nuts who are just looking for a political
Well, we're not political. We don't want to be political, do we?
Right. We've tried to avoid politics, and so far I think we've succeeded for the most part.
We have done a pretty good job of avoiding politics, although there's a lot of time that I have to spend biting my tongue.
It's tempting. It is tempting. But this is why we say goodbye to the audience, and then Randy and I spend an hour vetting back and forth the current news of the day and complaining and whining about it. So anyway, once again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for considering buying the book. And if you do buy the book and you think it's helpful, please go and leave a review on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you got the book, because I think that'll help other readers coming along behind you wondering what the good Medicare information is coming from.
So, as we always say, you have just spent 32 and a half minutes listening to Jug Jones.
Jug Jones, who's that?
Jug Jones. Oh no, that's your uncle, right? Jug Jones.
Well, that would be my alter ego.
You spent 32 and a half minutes listening to Doug Jones, the owner of Medicare for the LazyMan.com and an Oklahoma kid.
There you go.
We will talk to you later, and we hope to see you soon.
Bye-bye.